Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Josh Mann.
Today we're talking about three things. Number one, can you remember your baptism? Do you remember your baptism? May you remember your baptism? So first off, can you remember your baptism? Do you remember where you were? Were you there?
Were you there?
How many of you were like 0 to 10 years old when you were baptized? Raise your hand if you were 0 to 10. Okay. How many of you were 10 to 20? Raise your hand if you're 10 to 20. Okay, we're going all the way up, so get comfortable. And don't be shy. How many of you were in your 20s when you were baptized? Woo! Okay. Keep your hand up for like a good 7 seconds just so we can. All right, I see that hand, Kara. How many of you were in your 30s when you were baptized? Sweet. Okay. How many of you were in your 40s? Cool. What's up, Charlie? All right, in your 50s? Sweet. In your 60s? Come on. Yes. Cool. A couple. Not like a few, but like partners. How many in your 70s? Nice. Wow. Anybody in their 80s? Anybody in their 80s? Okay, we could fix that today if someone would like to come forward and, you know, actually. Just kidding. I remember my baptism. I was 12 years old. I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and my dad baptized me. I had become a Christian. I'd given my life to Christ when I was 4. I remember that in Wuhan. And when I was 12, I went public in that sense of demonstrating my allegiance to Jesus and joining him in the waters of baptism. I've been privileged to be a part of a couple other baptisms that I remember. 2 years ago, after men's retreat, some homies were like, I want to be baptized. And so we're like, is there any water nearby? And so we found a massive amount of freezing cold water. And, you know, just to remind you, you're alive, right? New life in Christ. So that was fun. I've been privileged to be a part of 4 of my kids being baptized. I remember those. 3 of those were at Fox Island Alliance Church, and Liberty was baptized last year. So that's special. And last year, some of my wife's work friends are such buddy buddies that we did a weekend at a cabin in Camp Sherman. And one of them, Megan, said, I want to be baptized. Would you and Bex baptize me? And so we had the privilege of doing another baptism in Chili Waters. That's the Matolius River, which is cold and refreshing. And the place of great chai, right? Yes. Okay, so why are we doing this? Because many of us have forgotten to remember the story of God's faithfulness in our life that baptism represents. For most of it, I don't have pictures of my baptism. The point is not the aesthetics and how cool it was. It's less like where and when and more the significance of what that meant for you and that actually happened. We are prone to forget. We are prone to become overwhelmed with what's right in front of us and kind of fail to keep in mind the broader picture of all that God has actually done in our lifetime. We're in a series called Echoes of Exodus, and we're tracing in Paul's letters themes that he writes about that call to mind, you know, more than 1,000 years earlier, events from the Exodus. And so today we're talking about baptism. What does that have to do with Exodus? The parting of the Red Sea. Have you ever thought about the parting of the Red Sea as being a baptism? of sorts. Let's refresh our memory. The Israelites have kind of scrammed, and after 10 plagues, they're finally released. After 400 years of slavery, they exit together with plunder, and no one could have known the Red Sea was going to be right there. That's one thing, figuring out how to ford the river, a la Oregon Trail, but we hadn't been invented yet, so there was no Oregon Trail, so they didn't know how to ford rivers back then, or even have dysentery yet, but they get to the river, and then Pharaoh's like, psych, just kidding, I want my slaves back, and so he sends the whole army, all the chariots and charioteers and horses and soldiers. So the largest military in the world that time is coming after you. You are standing in front of the Red Sea, and you thought this was too good to be true. The Israelites are despairing. They're mad, they're angry, they're scared. Sometimes we'd prefer the comfort of the familiar, even if it's limiting, than the risk and the fear of the unknown. And God says to Moses, and Moses says to the people, don't be afraid, which is insane. Fear would be natural in one sense in that moment. And on the other hand, so he's not shaming them for being afraid. He's not saying, knock it off. What he's saying is, there's another way to view this scenario where fear doesn't have to rule. If you knew who was with you and who's for you and what he's about to do, you wouldn't be afraid. You'd be confident. You'd have hope and peace. And so Moses is prophetically saying, don't be afraid. Just stand still. I want to bring some parallel imagery here to being baptized. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, the threat, the enemy, the intimidation, the failure, the fear, the slavery, the bondage, whatever claims you, makes you feel small, enslaves you, those powers, those forces, those realities, you will never see them in their dominance over you again. The Lord himself will fight for you. We're going to pull that theme forward. Just stay calm. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water. It reminds me of going on a bear hunt. Going on a bear hunt. Going on a bear hunt. Can't go over it. Can't go around it. Can't go under it. Got to go through it. So, no one saw that coming. God had redemption and a miracle planned, but no one could have predicted how. So fast forward now into Paul's writings. We're in 1 Corinthians, and listen to how he starts this phrase. I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters. Paul's a Jew. He's writing to people who live in 1 Corinthians. It's an interesting name for a city. And he says about our ancestors, our fathers. He's writing to non-Jews, and he's telling a story about a Jewish historical event. And he's not saying ours like not yours. He's saying, when you by faith join in with the story that God's been telling from the beginning, their story becomes your story. And so he says, I don't want you to forget something you never experienced. You didn't even hear about when you were growing up. But it's true, and it means something for you. I don't want you to forget about our ancestors in the wilderness. All of them were guided by a cloud. All of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized. Paul sees the parting of the Red Sea as a baptism. A baptism into Moses, the mediator who was making a new reality, a new identity, a new covenant possible. That was a foreshadowing of something greater. Paul again says in Romans 6, or have you forgotten? Don't forget. Don't forget. Have you forgotten? Now, this is a baptism picture. That when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, so when you're baptized, you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism. How so? We joined him in his death. Baptism demonstrates, it makes real a couple different realities at the same time. It's like very resourceful and efficient. One of the pictures we see in baptism is our death, the old us, coming to an end. Jesus actually died in our place. And we can get in on that. And so in baptism, you lower someone into the water. That's a picture of dying. It's like drowning, in case you wanted me to connect the dots there. She gone. He really died, and we symbolically join with him in his death via baptism. Next parallel I want to highlight. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, we will also be raised to life as he was. So baptism represents our death, our real death, our old self, our old life. God is a God of second chances. God is a God of new mercies. But the old you has to end before the new you can begin. And so this is a voluntary surrender to say, are you good? Are you done? Doing life your best on your own terms. For none of us is, do we get where we want to go? And so it represents our death. It represents his burial. Because like you stay underwater, it's like you're buried at the bottom of the ocean, you know? And the beautiful thing is that I want to highlight the next two things here. God then raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus didn't raise himself. So in the picture of just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today, there's a version of that for Jesus on the cross. Just stand still. Moses raised up his hand. Jesus raised up his hands and watched the Lord rescue him. We thought the only rescue possible was a rescue pre-death, but God doesn't save us from death. He saves us through death, through the death of Jesus. When Jesus died, all the powers of sin died with him. It's like he took them down with him. If you have a contract, think of a marriage contract, till death do us part, that's a pretty binding contract. If you want to get out of that contract, you got to go to extreme lengths. You got to really be serious, right? But there's a way to get out of a contract. In a marriage contract, if one of the parties dies, that contract is null and void. And so we were bound by the power of sin. We were connected. And we could try as we would. We could have some days better than others, but we weren't free in the sense of like having a new opportunity to live entirely separate. And so the covenant, the attachment, the bond with sin died and was buried, and the Egyptians did not emerge from the sea that day. The Israelites did. And so the overarching power of what intimidates and threatens us died. It went down. It didn't win. And Jesus came back up, as it says here, the power by the glorious power of the Father. The glorious power of the Father wins, and when we were crucified with Christ, we did that so that sin might lose its power. Egypt lost its power. Sin lost its power. We emerged through the other side, victorious and free. Technically free. Practically free. No more chains. Now, it takes sometimes a longer time to internalize the freedom that Christ has made available for us, but don't let that limit your understanding of just how real and definitive it was. I want to jump now to a different text. We're going to go to Psalm 77. So it was, can you remember your baptism? This is, do you remember your baptism? And here's why. In Psalm 77, this is a psalm of Asaph. This is written about 300 years after the Red Sea moment. And this gentleman is describing a bad day. Have you ever had a bad day? What's so funny? I was hoping, it's all 50-50, you know, people have had a bad day in the last week. Have you ever had a string of bad days? Have you ever had like a string of bad months? God forbid, maybe a string of bad years. That's where this journal entry comes from. Let's read together. I cry out to God. Yes, I shout that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, he rescued you? No, when I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long, I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven. But no, my soul was not comforted. When I think of God, I moan. Overwhelmed with longing for his help, his intervention, his peace. You don't let me sleep. I'm too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. My, how times have changed. And listen to these questions that he doesn't write lightly. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? How bad does it have to be for someone who knows the Lord to question at this level? Pretty bad. But I know that some of us, many of us, perhaps understand, relate. You're not like, oh, I can't believe someone would ever feel that way. Is his unfailing love gone forever? His unfailing love? Have his promises permanently failed? Not just for a while, but never again? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? If you were like in a prayer meeting and that guy was next to you, you might open your eyes at that moment, dare I say, and just be like, you're like, you think I, what? I'm like, no, I don't think you should pray like that. Just sing happy songs, okay? Mind over matter, let's go, right? And this person is desperate, this person is depressed, this person is confused, this person is disoriented, and I wonder, have you ever been there? And if you have, did you let yourself talk like that to God? Talking like this to God is critical. It's life-changing, it's life-saving in the sense that if you don't, a part of you will die. God's not interested in your nice, polite, he needs you to prop him up, telling him everything's great all the time. He is worthy of praise, but he's also worthy of your heart. An intimacy, which is what he created you for. A heart-to-heart connection, the core of you to the core of him. That's what he wants from you. That's what he wants for you. That's the only place where you can truly be strong is when the real you is connected to the real him and the real you is connected to the real you. You're living from your heart, actually, authentically. It's vulnerable. It's scary. But intimacy requires honesty. Honesty is honoring in important relationships. And not just in the like, fine, I'll be honest. I've been in love with you and I don't care who knows it. Happy belated Valentine's Day for those who celebrate. No, honesty that's honoring sometimes says, this is gonna be hard to say, this is gonna be hard to hear. But it's real. And if we're gonna make it, we can't go around it or over it or under it. We're going to have to go through this. We're going to have to process through this. I have something against you. This isn't working for me. This psalm's in the Bible, man. It made the cut. It's there for a reason. It's there to remind us to express our grief, to lament our losses and anger. Sometimes we do what's called spiritual bypass. Hey, all things work together for good for those who love Jesus. Cast your cares on him. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Like, yes, but those aren't meant to be band-aids in like gaping holes in your heart and soul. Don't sing songs to a heavy heart. Proverbs says, grief is meant to be expressed. And only after you and as you express your grief is there room in your heart for an additional perspective. But you can't ignore this one, okay? So I don't know if that's for you, but may you receive that and take risks in your relationship with God. And don't concern yourself so much with saying everything right and not saying anything wrong, but may you finally make a way to say things that are real. He resigns himself in this next verse and says, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. That's pretty honest. That's pretty raw. As he's expressed that, though, he does a mind shift. He says, but, then I recall, I remember, it's an active choice, all that you have done. I remember, this is like the same Hebrew word as recall, except this time it's like the emphatic tense. It's like, yes, I will remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. We hear you. Long, long ago. They're constantly in my thoughts. This word for remember in the Hebrew is kind of like a meditate, muse. He's like chewing on them. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. This word thinking is a reminder verb that means to like rehearse. So I will remember. Yes, I will remember. I will meditate and muse. I will rehearse. I will replay the story of your faithfulness. Okay, cool. Like generically, yes. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You're the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. These are generic, broad declarations of God's goodness and power in times past. Like, you do amazing things. You've done a lot of them. It's great. It's wonderful. It's all great. But look where he goes next. When the Red Sea saw you, oh God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, a pathway through the mighty waters. This is my favorite line. A pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. He's remembering their baptism. That's the only baptism they had to speak of then. And he's calling back to mind in very vivid imagery. I mean, it sounds like a first-person eyewitness account. He wasn't there. It was 300 years earlier. But he has so internalized that story as to like paint the picture of it in his head and remind himself, that's who you are. That's what you did for me, for us. And then the psalm ends. That's the end. So do you remember your baptism? Do you recall what it meant for God to intervene in your life and provide a path through your vulnerability, your fear, your failure, your desperation, your depression that no one knew was there? Baptisms are the most powerful thing that happens in this room. Would you agree? We're going to have them in 2 weeks, and you'll know what I'm saying. The most powerful thing that, like, technically takes place is when someone surrenders their life to Jesus, when they pound a ribbon on the cross. And I celebrate, and you celebrate when that happens. But if I'm just measuring, like, the Richter scale of my heart, that is smaller than what happens when someone steps in here and you see them in the flesh. They face us. Their story is read. You hear the description of where they were, how they came to know Jesus, the difference it made, and who they've become or are becoming. Every single story is unique, unexpected, except that this is the way the Lord works. He makes a way when it seems like there is no way. And when we witness someone enter the waters of baptism, their death, burial, resurrection with Christ, cleansed from sin, it revives in us something. There's joy. There's spontaneous applause. It's powerful. Well, I thought all the magic was there. I thought that was the money shot. Baptism doesn't save us, right? So what's the big deal? But Jesus called all who would receive him as Lord to join in baptism. This makes real, embodies, experientially realizes all the spiritual truths that take place when you surrender your life to God. He wants you to experience death, burial, and new life. And so he gave us this picture. And believers all throughout time and all around the world have been baptized in the ocean, in rivers, in bathtubs, in holes in the ground, in horse troughs, all kinds of places. And every single time, it's a miracle, and it's powerful. And so today is the day of the feast of the baptism of our Lord in some traditions. And on that day, they come forward, and they're told, remember your baptism. Not like, oh yeah, 12 Cheyenne, cool, got it. Kind of a sheep pasture mural on the back behind the thing. No, remember it means to re-embody it. Re-talk through how my salvation story came to be. Rehearse that story about how significant that was and the difference it made. And so even if it's been a desolate decade, I can still take comfort in the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he saw fit to find me and set me free, set me on a journey of lifelong transformation, then I'll trust that even if I can't see it or feel it, that's as true today as it was then. So the worship team's gonna come back up. We're gonna spend a little bit more of an extended time in response. And I got two movements I want you to consider. Number one, if you have been baptized, I want you to come forward and dip your finger in the water and make the sign of the cross on your head as a water was there at my baptism, and I entered into it, and it covered me, and it meant something. I don't remember my baptism a lot, but I'm thankful for this opportunity in a practical way, just like we have bread and a cup, which reminds us. God knows we're forgetful, and that real things help us remember real things. And so this isn't holy water. That's not our tradition. I tried to figure out how to make holy water. You just have to pray the hell out of it. And then it's good, but I don't know when that happens. I was so excited about that one. So it's regular water, but I think it's a helpful reminder for those who've been baptized. The center one is gluten-free for those who are gluten-free. But some of us, we can't remember something that hasn't happened, and you've not been baptized. And I want to say, hey, let's do something about that today. We're not going to baptize you today. We're going to do that in 2 weeks, but there are elders in the lobby. And when we stand, I want you to go to the back. And they're going to say, tell us about when you surrendered your life to Christ. Tell us a little bit about that. And they're going to take your info, give you a shirt so that you can join us in 2 weeks. We're going to have baptisms in every service, and it's going to be glorious. Your life, your rescue is meant to be experienced and witnessed, because it matters. And I want you to remember this one day in the future on a bad, desperate day, when you find yourself saying, has the Lord turned his hand against me? May you remember their baptism at the Red Sea, because that was ours. May you remember his baptism, his death, burial, and resurrection. And may you remember your baptism. Not just like, did I really pray that prayer? Did I mean it? Did it take? Did you hear me? I'm not sure, but I was there. I went down and I came up, and in the spirit of Pixar, it didn't happen. Baptism or it didn't happen. That's the invitation. So, as we sing a little bit of a different song right now, a song written from a place like Psalm 77, I hope you'll join in as you need. And may the Lord bring to mind all sorts of things right now. Pain, regret, anger, sadness that hasn't been expressed. Let it out. Or memories of God's record of faithfulness in your life. Do you remember when he finally answered that prayer? Do you remember when that finally happened? He's been good, he's been faithful, and may he bring those things to mind as we come forward and go back. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.